Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
Greatest.
Here's John Williams.
Movie quote all time. Actually, don't do it that way. Don Kleppen, I'll ask for you in just a second to give us a response. I see Lauren Lapko over there, too. Stand by! It's John Williams in the Allstate Skyline Studio. If I just say, give me one of your favorite movies. What's your movie quote? Favorite movie quote. Just give me your hot movie quote. Give me a hot take on it. And then the one that burbles up. Is what, Kleppen? Great movie quotes. Go.
Mr. Gilmore, Mr. Lafferty will be teeing off now.
There you go. Boom. Lapka, movie quote.
Oh,
give
man.
Me one you know.
This is hard. I don't know why, but this one popped in my head. The weather outside is weather.
Is that from Groundhog's Day? What's that
no.
from?
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Hokey smokes. Mine is You Can't Handle the Truth.
It's I mean, a good
you know,
one.
It's not a contest. It's just. But I
nobody
think
puts baby in a corner.
And we're off and running.
No, it's a cardigan, but thanks for noticing.
Nobody puts baby in a corner. That's good. So the Atlantic at Atlantic.com has a thing, greatest movie quote of all time. And then they asked people like A.O. Scott and some thought leaders to say what did they think it was. And so people are chiming in. Toto, I've got the feeling we're not in Kansas anymore, I believe is A.O. Scott's. But I'm asking you to text in to 312-981-7200. We'll talk more about this a little later on. You can't fight in here. This is the war room, Dr. Strangelove. Here's looking at you, kid. Casablanca. The list goes on. And again, there's no it's in the contest. And just like, boom. In fact, I wouldn't have guessed. Or, like, I have a lot of quotes I really love. But when I saw this article, that's just the one that just burbled up right away. You can't handle the truth. So maybe that's my quote. That's how you know, the one that just pops out of your mouth. So what was that for you then, Lauren, again? What was the one that came up?
Well, strangely, and it's not even like one of the best. It's just one that I say a lot.
Well, there you go.
It's when he sings the weather outside is weather. It's Paul Rudd's character. He's kind of like the stoner surfer instructor, surf instructor.
But if it's, and that's true too, isn't it? If the one you find yourself saying a lot, that helps you define what is a quote for you. And I'll a lot of times say, well, you know, you can't handle the truth moment. Or somebody just gets so frustrated, they say something that's very revealing. So what was yours, Don, again?
I'd like to change it, actually, to coffee's for closers only.
Coffee is for closers only. That's, I know that line. Help me out. What's that from?
Alec Baldwin in,
Oh, yeah, not Tin Men, but...
No, I don't remember the title
it's
either.
It's the one where they're selling siding.
Yeah, and what is it, that Jack Lemmon guy?
Say it again, Don?
The Jack Lemmon guy? What's the...
I know the movie. I haven't watched it in a long time. Anyway, that one. Is this Lockie? You're on WGN. What's the line? Lukey? It says, Lockie Jaws, you're going to need a bigger boat.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure who that is, but thank you for the call.
Glengarry Glen Ross.
There you are. Ding, ding, ding. Hey, Pete, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hey, how you doing? I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yeah.
It smells like victory.
You know, you say that on line two. Larry on line three, what's the one you say?
It's from, it's where they're entering the camp and... The photographer character says, oh, I know you're looking at the heads. Well, sometimes he goes too far, but he's always the first to admit it.
Another great line. Thank you for the phone call. Okay, so text them to 312-981-7200. What's the line that's your line from a movie? We'll review more of them from The Atlantic and play them back in the 2 o'clock hour. Also, we'll talk about Rod Blagojevich and the possibility that maybe by the end of this week he'll be a free man. Can you imagine? I also posted on my Facebook page, I'm WGN King John on Facebook, some of my thoughts about the president's retweet over the weekend. I know some of you like the president, and some of you don't like the president, and some of you who do like the president just wish that he wouldn't tweet crazy stuff. I think we can all agree that his retweeting that comics conspiracy theory that the Clintons played a hand in Jeffrey Epstein's death is appalling. It's the sort of thing you can easily find anywhere on the internet, but retweeting it from the highest office in the land serves no purpose, right? No purpose. None at all. There's no value. There's no help. There's no consolation to anybody. It's just uneducated, unhelpful hate, and we all know that. So now I have to put another nickel in the I can't believe it bucket. You know, we say that you can't be surprised anymore by the behavior of this man, and then he surprises us. I got to put another nickel in the bucket. The comic said, we know who did this, and a retweet of that is an endorsement, and the president retweeted that the Clintons are behind Epstein's death. This is not just another easy shot at the president, by the way, from someone who's counting down the days to and is worried about the next election. For instance, I think there are two sides to that bizarre thumbs-up photo that he took with the child in Texas whose parents were killed. I haven't brought that topic up.
What's the other side?
I'll get to that in a minute. And I'm not really interested in efforts to label the president with the word racist. Judging by his behavior, we don't need to stand Donald Trump up against some measuring stick of racism to see if he's over the mark and, aha, now he's achieved official racist status. There's no value in that. Judge people by their actions. You don't need the word. But my word, the retweet of the Clinton theory, which is still up on his account, is proof to all that he values not the importance of his office and that he has no interest in healing or leading or governing all of us. He's just working for himself and, I guess, the people that support crazy theories and things like that. So I got to put, in fact, I believe we have the sound of me putting a nickel in the bucket. There it goes. Now the nickel in the I can't believe it bucket, which, by the way, has $17 million this year. I've personally committed $17 million to the I can't believe it bucket.
Yeah, I don't want to be critical, but that bucket sounds empty there, and I know that must not be the real thing.
Well, we emptied it recently, and so there, it's just a new bucket. I was really surprised, and I know you don't get to be surprised, but I was surprised when I saw that. It happened on Saturday. That's when I first discovered this story. I was sitting in my office. I'll never forget where I was. It was about, 8:30 in the morning. And I had CNN on in my office. You know, I'm on Saturdays from 10 to noon. I was getting ready for the show. Producer Griffin walked in around 9 o'clock. He looked at the screen. He goes, oh, no. And I said, yeah, this is terrible because now full justice might not ever be executed for the people that were Jeffrey Epstein's victims, right? We won't know what he knows. Punishing him as a live person will never happen to the people who wanted to see him get some sort of punishment through the courts. So justice will never fully be executed for Mr. Epstein. He's taken the easy way out. That was my attitude about it. That's the oh no. But Griffin said, oh no, now the conspiracies are going to come. And this will be very easy for people to say powerful people are protected by Epstein's passing. And therefore, maybe there is motive for somebody to have a hand in this. Like Griffin immediately saw where the story is today. But the president's tweet surprised me.
Well, what's funny about it is, well, there's nothing funny about it, but it not that the president was responsible for it, but it was the executive branch of the government. It was his Justice Department who was supposed to be keeping this guy alive.
My understanding is that prison where he was being kept or jail where he's being kept is understaffed. A lot of the people there are working overtime. Maybe that explains it. I guess I will find out. I really don't care that much about how it was that he was able to take his own life. That should not have happened, of course, and that's something worth pursuing. But either way, the president isn't interested in that part of the story here. He's saying, no, I think the Clintons did it. Bill or Hillary, I don't know, got on the phone and called somebody or paid somebody. I mean, that's where that theory goes. I mean, you can listen to that comic's post. He's continuing to talk about this, and the president has retweeted him. That's an endorsement. That's an endorsement of that view. That's nothing else. By the way, you might watch the video and think, yeah, the guy's kind of funny. He's just riffing. Like if somebody did that on stage or on Bill Maher's show or, I don't know, somewhere, you might think it was funny. But coming from the president's office just is so beneath the dignity of that position. It's stunning. It's amazing. Steve, I'll answer your question, by the way, about why I think there's two sides to the thumbs-up story. There's a piece in The Atlantic about it, and I think it's some of the most eloquent prose I've ever read. And I know Eric Zorn retweeted another piece from somebody who wrote also about dissecting that photo of Melania and Donald Trump standing with that little baby, and then some of that baby's surviving family members, the mother and father, were killed shielding that child in Texas. But I think other parts of that story are the following: that the family wanted the photo to be taken, that they are supporters of Donald Trump, that they wanted to talk to him person to person. The uncle, who's standing to the president's right, said several times it was a human being talking to a human being about the loss of these loved ones. We support the president, and if they draw some consolation from that, I have no problem with that. That's all fair and reasonable to hope for. The sin of it is the releasing of the photo. It's the publication of that photograph. Right? So if Donald Trump and Melania want to have that moment and it's private and they handle it awkwardly, there's no sin in it because nobody knows about that. And if all of those people are cool with the thumbs up thing, then it's not my business to judge. It's not my business to know about it. But now I know about it.
Well, two things, and this is just a matter of opinion, but it's mine. It's unfortunate, I think, to be used, and if the baby's family was in on it, that's great too. But to be using this incredible victim as like a prop in a picture with Melania holding the baby.
It's entirely that.
And that was unfortunate. But then, yeah, the weird part is the president's inability to sort of recognize the moment, and he's smiling with a thumbs up like he would do in a, you know, in a reception line, a picture with you or me, smiling with a thumbs up on it. And that just shows he didn't get the moment. But even worse, I mean, maybe he's with these people who love him, and they, you know, that, so he thought it was a happy moment. I get that. The press was not allowed into these events. These were White House photographers who took this picture. They had complete control over it. So who in his office thought it was a good idea to release that picture to the public? That's the real question, because it was not a good idea.
The piece in The Atlantic says that we are all capable of having the wrong expression on our face at the wrong time so that it looks bad, but that's the business of optics. But really, in a situation like this, that's really the only thing you're supposed to do, is strike the right pose. It is an optic. It is for the purpose of conveying something. You've got to get it right. So either that was an awkward moment and it was captured, or the president just is incapable of knowing how to behave in a situation like that. Either way, the fact that it was released is just another level of head scratching.
It's just weird. I mean, it is weird. It's like
he's a hammer and everything's a nail, right? That's his one tool. That's all he's got. I mean, he tossed paper towels to victims of hurricane. Everything is a thumbs up, we've got it under control, big smile celebration to him. I don't think what I'm asking him to do comes easily or naturally to him. Maybe it wouldn't to you either. But the smile is bizarre. The thumbs up is strange.
It is. But again, I go into the communications office and like, well, we've got 75 pictures of the president here. Which one should we release? And I say, this one we don't release.
How about none of them? What if they had one where he had a sad look and maybe Melania has her hand on somebody's shoulder? Imagine a consoling look. I still think that's a private moment that you and I should not see, even if it helps humanize the Trumps or show that they're there helping. Now it's a campaign poster. That should have been a private moment. We should not have known it. It's 121. The phone number is 312-981-7200. We like to hear or read from you.
Governor Blagojevich, you say you love the people. We love your hair. What happened?
Only in America.
What about in Mexico?
Only in America. The truth is in those tapes. Only in America.
What about in Canada?
Only in America. Truth is in those tapes. Listen to the tapes.
I told my nephew Alex, he just turned 26 today. I said, Alex, you know, I called him for his birthday, and I said, it's just too bad you're not 4 years older, because I could have given you a U.S. Senate seat for your birthday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I've got this thing, and it's golden. And I'm just not giving it up for nothing. I'm not going to do it. And I can always parachute, use it, and parachute me there. I talked to Fred about that. You know, there's life after that if I do it.
I was always about trying to fight for the people and get things done for the people, because I love the people of Illinois and I had a responsibility to the people.
I just
just want to ask this one question. Your Harry Potter facts were not accurate. Who did the research?
The inability to learn the product. And there was an issue in the...
Was that their inability or your inability?
I suppose I should have directed everybody else to learn the product.
And yeah, but you went to Orlando to learn about Harry Potter. Nobody else did. So wouldn't you have been the one to know the product and learn the product? So are you responsible?
I think we did not win. But I think if you were looking at this like a baseball team, we're making progress. I believe.
Governor, I have great respect for you. I have great respect for your tenacity, for the fact that you just don't give up. But Rod, you're fired.
I've been wrong.
A long time ago, we took a song, an interview with Rod Blagojevich. We songified it, mixed it down with some other things, and you get that. The video of the songify of the interview with Rod Blagojevich is at WGNradio.com. It's a trip. you know, there's a lot of takeaways from listening to those clips, and one of them is Donald Trump was really good as a host on a reality game show. He was good on The Apprentice. Before he was a candidate, he was popular, likable, and competent at that.
I have to say, I feel a little bit like Monet, who's seen his work turned into a coloring book, but go ahead.
Wow, that was an amazing thing you said there, Steve, and I'm sorry I don't fully appreciate it, but it was a
very good, thought-provoking interview that I did with Rod Blagojevich that you turned into a clown show, and I'm over it.
Yeah, evidently.
And then got more play.
Well, it seems to me like the genesis of that was you interviewed Rod Blagojevich. Eric Zorn, back in 2008 or 9, said, boy, you know, there's this thing where they take newscasts or clips from the news and they songify them. You should do that with an interview with Blago. And then Matt Bubala, my old producer and our host here.
Who's also my producer on the interviews.
Got that done.
And who favored you.
We wouldn't be playing the interview, but that it was songified. So I think you should appreciate that.
But didn't you sat down and put in your own questions?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So I stole your answers.
Work.
The answers you got. Oh, is that what this is all? Hence the somebody else's work turned into a coloring book. Sorry, Steve. There's an interesting article in the Tribune the other day, and I thought it was very helpful. I don't know if you saw it. Sorting the truth from the myth and former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich's conviction. 5 things to know. It's by, Jeff Cohen. Let me just read you the 5 things you should know with a short summary of them. Was Rod Blagojevich's 14-year sentence unusually long? And they conclude in the Tribune, yes and no. It was longer than most recent public corruption sentences. But the sentence is within the guidelines and less than the prosecutors actually asked for. So in theory, it could have been worse. But I think this is very interesting. Some critics have pointed out that 2 years before giving Rod Blagojevich that sentence of 14 years, Judge James Zagel, who gave him that sentence, sentenced cooperating Chicago outfit hitman Nicholas Calabresi to 12 years in prison after he admitted on the witness stand to having a hand in killing 14 people. So this is a Chicago mob hitman, kills 14 people and admits it, and goes to jail for 12 years. Blagojevich goes to jail for 14 years. Just think about that. 2, did federal prosecutors build a case only around talk? That was what the president said. 1 phone call. You know, he was just bragging on the phone, and for that he goes to jail. He did nothing. Did the federal prosecutors build a case around only talk? Tribune concludes, mostly true. The case was, in fact, built on all of the talking that Blago did in those hundreds of hours of tapes. But the prosecutor said in the Blagojevich case, the talking was the crime. Think about this. They famously argued that if a police officer pulls you over and then asks you for money to tear up a ticket, it's a crime for them to ask, even if you say no. It's an attempt to use government power for personal benefit, and that is what Blagojevich was convicted of. Remember, when he was trying to sell the Senate seat, he points somebody to the United States Senate. They had to move quickly before he actually did that, because I don't think it would have been within their power to rescind that appointment. You could say, well, you don't like it and we'll throw you in jail. But they had to swoop in before he actually appointed somebody. And I continue to think one of the most compelling things about his whole thought process was when he said, I could sell the seat to Jesse Jackson Jr. or whomever, but I could go ahead and appoint myself to the U.S. Senate, take myself out of the governor's role. Now I won't be impeached for being... he thought that would get him out of impeachment. I'm not exactly sure how, now that I think about it, but he was going to appoint himself as President-elect Obama's replacement in the United States Senate. Question number three, is it true he never personally pocketed any money? That's also true. Prosecutors presented no evidence the Blago ever stuffed a mattress with cash from his schemes, but prosecutors did suggest that was partially because the governor's plans were cut short. One key witness said that several of them plan to use the levers of government inside the Blagojevich administration to make money. It's not like they weren't going to try. Blagojevich was really just playing politics, as he claimed. I think this is maybe one of the more interesting parts of all of this, too. It's what Patty continues to say, that if you ask for a campaign donation, maybe strings are attached, maybe they aren't attached, but a lot of the people you're doing business with are people for whom you will ask for a campaign donation. That shouldn't be against the law. At least it's not currently against the law to ask for a donation. Blagojevich's defense lawyer spent much of their time making that argument. Their efforts to convince Judge Zagel to let them play all the secretly recorded tapes of the governor was on this point. They wanted jurors to hear as many instances as possible where Blagojevich made it sound like he wanted to appoint Lisa Madigan to the Senate seat, hoping the Democratic Party leaders would then go through with her powerful father, Illinois Speaker Mike Madigan, to push Blago's platform through Springfield. It's just horse trading. This is the way politics is done. Should he be let out to spend time with his family is the fifth point to consider in the Tribune piece. Blago at this point has missed dozens of holidays and birthdays as he sits in prison. His two daughters, Ann and Amy, were in grade school when he was convicted. Amy, the oldest, has now graduated from Northwestern. I have a lot of questions about that. Congratulations to her. They all must be really proud. She must be a very bright girl because I don't think there's any strings attached to help you get into Northwestern with the name Blagojevich, even though her father went there, right? I don't know that being named Blagojevich is something that all the schools out there are going to embrace. I think you really have to earn it with that on your back. And I don't know how they afforded it, but that's an expensive school. His wife, Patty, has consistently pointed out that this part of the former governor's pain, that he's missing his children's lives. And many courtroom observers felt sympathy for the couple's children whenever they would appear in court. I was mixed about that. Maybe you were too. You can't help but feel bad for those kids. You wish the parents wouldn't trot them out, maybe, to try and use them as a prop to get a more lenient sentence. Zagel also considered the impact on Blagojevich's family when he was sentenced, but pointed out that Blago had his family when he was committing the crimes, and if anything, that should have stopped him, but it didn't. Why did devotion as a father not deter him from engaging in such reckless conduct? The judge said. Now it's too late. If it's any consolation to his children, he does not stand convicted of being a bad father. Now, the president sounded earlier in the week like he was going to let Rod out. Then he sort of modified that, said we're going to look more closely at it. But other reporting I read this weekend makes it sound like he might be out, or at least the sentence might be commuted by the end of this week. What will happen if he gets free? Does he have a job in Chicago? Steve, do you think that a newspaper, radio, or TV station will hire Rod Blagojevich to be an analyst?
No. Yeah. I don't know what his job would be. I'm sure he could find something, but...
not. But really, the things for which he's good at, being a lawyer, being a politician, maybe a campaign would hire him. Maybe he could be a political strategist.
I don't think so.
You don't think that?
I think he's pretty polluted by now. I mean, and as far as being put on as an analyst, I mean, he was so blatant in some of his lies that I think it would be hard for a media I don't know.
When Rostenkowski or Hastert got out, did they not find work?
Hastert's not out.
Yeah,
okay. I don't believe is
right,
he or,
right right now. No, I'm guessing thinking of Rosti.
Yeah, and Rostenkowski, that was a franking thing. I mean, that was a. I don't know that he was interested. He would sit in maybe with some observations from time to time. I don't remember.
Yeah, it seems to me like I remember seeing him on a horseshoe talking about stuff. Ed, you wanted to say something? You're on WGN. Hi.
Couple of things. Bring it up, Dennis Hastert. I like to know how a wrestling coach had $3 million of discretionary spending. You wonder how these politicians were able to pay for Northwestern College. I'd like to know how he got $3 million being a wrestling coach before he got to Washington, D.C. And then second, I think that you have to say whether it was wrong or not, and that was how he got sentenced, not comparing it to what somebody else had gotten. We've really lost faith in our public officials, and this is one of the reasons why, and I think that's one of the things we're trying to drive home. It just pushed that lack of faith even further.
That's a good point, and it's kind of an impossible thing to answer, because if you are comparing a hitman who on the stand says, I killed 12 people, he admits to murdering 12 people, and he goes to jail for 12 years, and then Rod Blagojevich, who's ruined the faith in government for millions of people, goes to jail for 14 years, are we saying that in the long run, Blago's crime to society was worse than the hitman who kills people? I don't know. One thing is, gee, we lost faith in government. The other is you killed people. Now, which of those is worse? And it's kind of an impossible question to answer, but you do have to sort of put a number on it. And what we've said is Blago is worse than the hitman for the mob.
Well, I'm not so sure that we've said it's worse, but there's got to be some sort of a limit that we put on that, whether that hitman got off lighter, and no, that's why, but I'm just saying it has to carry some sort of a sentence also, and it has to do so independent of
the other. I got that loud and clear. And so, hey, before I let you go, Ed, so you'd keep Blago in jail, right?
No, I don't keep him in jail. I think he got too heavy-handed, but I'm just saying that to do that apples and oranges thing, I'd rather find out where Hastert got that $3 million of discretionary spending.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sure that's known because, yeah, he sure did pay it out in large chunks over a period of time. And off the top of my head, I don't recall exactly where that money came from. I mean, he was a high-ranking member of Congress at the time, too, so I suppose he had a better salary than as being a wrestling coach. But, yeah, you don't get rich doing that, or at least you're not supposed to.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
The living.
Here's John Williams.
Hi, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Stay tuned to WGNRadio.com or WGN Radio, however you get us all day long. Be some serious weather coming your way, which means, of course, I plan to go to Ravinia tonight to hear music outdoors. That's the way I live my life. We're here today until 3, and on Saturdays from 10 to noon. Remember, the Mincing Rascals podcast you can pick up if you just say to your smart speaker, play the Mincing Rascals. Steve, you're leaning into your microphone like something's on your mind.
Well, I just feel badly for you that you're planning on a great Ravinia outing tonight, and it might rain. I have a few friends there. Maybe I could find a way for you to get inside.
You don't live too far from there, do you?
No.
Got a picnic planned. I can see a tuna sandwich about 7 o'clock tonight getting soaked.
In fact, you asked me several months ago if
I wanted to come with us.
And then I said I probably would, and you never brought it up again. So I hope you have a good time.
It's not how I remember it.
Really?
I remember saying, hey, we're going to go to Ravinia. We're going to BUY some tickets. You said, I want to wait and see if I get a media pass. You got a media pass.
I don't remember all the particulars.
So you can join us if you want, Mr. Freddy Freeloader.
I was going to, but it's going to rain, I think.
Yeah, thanks.
Actually, I've been there when it rained once, and it's really nice. I'm serious.
Yeah, I can't wait, Elif. That sounds like a great, great time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's continue with the show. Just to sort of put a few things away before we move on to the next segment here. Somebody said, Steve, I know the segment, but I don't remember the poem, and you probably do. They said, John, can you please read the poem that Kathy and Judy used to when the kids go away to school? They used to play a song.
It was called Letting Go by Susie Boggess.
But was there a poem that they read too?
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, maybe there was, but I remember the song.
I can't do the song. I can't do the bit. That was a bit of radio gold. That was magic that Kathy and Judy were able to capture, and I can't do that well, so I won't. But, John, can you please read the poem or print the poem that Kathy and Judy used for parents to send their kids off to college? They'd play this song. People would call in. Everyone would cry. It was a great catharsis.
I cried before my children were born when I heard that segment.
And I know it's a big... I can't believe kids are going to school today. Kids are going back to school today. My niece and nephew are in high school right now, or junior high.
How cruel is it that they only had like a few weeks of summer based on weather?
I know. If I were king, I would go, June sucked, so we're just not going to do it until September 12th. I'd just pick a date. But you guys deserve more summer than you got. So thank you for the thought. But if there was a poem, I'd print it, but I don't think that it was a poem that we were all thinking of. So in The Atlantic, Graham, is it Rumieux, had a list or an article, what is the greatest movie quote of all time? And then he asked people like A.O. Scott, the New York Times film critic, and some other thought leaders what they thought was the best movie quote of all time. A.O. Scott said, I grew up watching The Wizard of Oz on a black and white television, so it wasn't until my 20th viewing or so that I discovered that it was in color. The Oz portions, anyway, which is why the line that Dorothy utters when she steps out into that enchanted world defines for me the inexhaustible magic of movies. Dorothy said...
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Jenny Han, who is the author of To All the Boys I've Ever Loved, was asked, what's the greatest movie quote of all time? And she said it's from Clueless. It's short. It's to the point. It gives girls a language for dealing with unwanted attention from creepy guys in a way that was clear and bold, but also funny. This is Jenny Han's contribution from Clueless.
Oh, as if.
Elif chuckled when she heard that one.
I love that movie so much. And as if is an iconic phrase from the movie.
Among the readers in The Atlantic, Humphrey Bogart's toast to Ingrid Bergman in Casablanca. You got that one?
He's looking at you, kid.
Fraught with bittersweet regret, a groundswell of longing, maybe a glint of hope. Humphrey Bogart, here's looking at you, kid. I remember this one because it's one of my favorite movies, and I can quote maybe from this movie as much as any movie, Dr. Strangelove. It's absurd, but it's also deadly serious, says one of the people that contributed to this article. And the sardonic use of the word gentleman is priceless. This is from Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, you want my thing for it? Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
Dan Fredericks of Janesville, Wisconsin, contributed in Jaws, Police Chief Brody's humorous one-liner to Quint after his experience with the Great White.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
A lot of you said that. That's a line we all use for a lot of ways, a lot of reasons. We're going to need a bigger boat.
What about Luke, I am your father?
Boy, how's that not in the top
right.
10 of all time?
One of the best revelations of a movie series and line.
Were we all shocked when he said that? Did we not see that coming? I don't remember.
I didn't.
This is from Rocky IV, so you'll be forgiven if you don't remember it. But a couple folks said Rocky Balboa when he gave the sunshine and rainbows speech.
The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Not bad. Not bad.
That Rocky. One's just a little hard to remember.
I know. It's not exactly life as a box of chocolates now, is it?
Oh.
In fact, let's listen to that one from Forrest Gump. I mean, is this the line from that movie?
My mom always said,
life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Forrest. Now, you know what? The next one on that list, Elif, if you're just looking at the same sheet I am, is from, you see the one I'm looking at here? I don't want to. Andy Tered. You know, the one that's on the rundown after that? Shawshank Redemption. How about this line?
I guess it comes down to a simple choice, really. Get busy living. Or get busy dying.
Get busy living or get busy dying. How about you? What about you over there in sports, Kevin Powell? What's the line from him? If I said, you know, don't think about it, just feel it. What's a movie line that you love that you know you remember? Great movie line is what?
Well, Field of Dreams is top of mind with the White Sox-Yankees news, Field of Dreams. So I just think of, you know, is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. That kind of came to mind right when you asked me, just because Field of Dreams was top of mind. So
that works.
That's one of them.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
The Jaws ones. Jaws is my favorite movie, so I'm glad you got to that one.
Is there another one that's from Jaws that you'd put on there? Need a bigger boat.
Need a bigger boat.
What about the one where he's like, something in the water, sharks in the water? I can't remember how it goes. I know you remember it.
Well, there's also the scene where they're talking about their injuries.
Yeah, like, that's the best. That's the best
and
scene.
And he says, Quint. It's some girl, she broke my heart, and they all laugh. Something like that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Quint, that's just a legendary scene. They're all kind of drinking. Next thing you know, sharks pounded on the side of the boat.
John, I'll make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah, I was just going to say something from Godfather.
Say hello to my little friend from Scarface.
You know they're iconic when you know the lines, but you haven't seen the movie.
Right, because I don't know if I've watched all of Scarface or not, but I sure know that line. Leave the gun, take the cannoli. A lot of you remember that one from The Godfather. sadly, maybe one of the most quotable movies of all time is Caddyshack. Caddyshack lines. Ready? Go. Kevin.
Oh, God. You're putting me on the spot here.
Lapka, go. Caddyshack lines.
Yeah, let me think about that one for a second.
It's in the hole.
That's so much for your
that
theory.
That is a good one.
It's in the hole.
Your Honor, Your Honor. I use that on the golf course just about every time I play.
he got all of that one. from Cool Hand Luke, what we have here is a failure to communicate.
What we have here
is a failure.
Is a failure to communicate.
The youngsters in this audience don't know that line.
Oh, like Caddyshack one where Danny, you take drugs every day. Good, good, good.
That to me is the funniest line in the movie.
Good.
And it's not as quotable because it's the delivery.
It's the delivery, yeah, the context sort of. And
you
like,
look at that on writing and it's not.
The way they sold it so casually.
Oh, my God, yes.
You take drugs, Danny, every day. Yeah, good.
I know.
Good.
That to me, literally, the first time, the second time, that to me was the funniest line in the whole damn movie.
It's perfect.
Quentin Jaws, here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
Bow-legged women, yeah.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What about the Matrix one where they're talking about the pills and he gets to the point where he's like, or take the red pill and I'll show you just how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Nice. Nice.
I wish I knew the whole line when they're talking about, you know, the blue pill version because he's like, you're in Wonderland, whatever.
I'm glad somebody said this, because again, they don't have to be the most meaningful lines in the world. I feel the need for speed.
Time to light the fires and kick the tires.
Yep.
Something like that.
Badges. We don't need no stinking badges. That's classic, Lapka, because a lot of people haven't seen that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not lately, but you sure know that line.
Well, you just made me think of another one. That's what I love about high school girls. I grow up, they all stay the same age.
Dazed and Confused.
Yeah. There's a lot from that movie as a, you know, whole two.
All right, if I do this one, do you know the movie? Now that's a tasty burger. Now that's a tasty burger. Bertrand, do you know that one? Now that's a tasty burger?
I don't think so.
Pretty sure that's Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. Fiction. Oh. Talking about the Royale with cheese.
Yeah.
You had me at hello.
What about Lighten Up Francis?
Lighten Up Francis. That's, shoot.
Stripes.
Because that one you can use in a lot in everyday life.
Razzle Dazzle. That's a great movie.
I want to know if anybody knows this one. I'm going to play this one.
All right, this is Elif.
And we're now going to the art house.
And you do what you love and f*** the rest.
Do what you love and bleep the rest. That's Elif's quote.
Do you want to hear it again?
I think we got it.
Oh, okay.
What's the movie, Ms. Garris?
Little Miss Sunshine.
Here's Johnny!
Yeah.
I use that every now and then, but my name being John and all.
Someone wanted you to specify what Frankly, My Dear, I Don't Give a Damn is from.
From Scarlett. That's Scarlett in...
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind.
It's Rhett Butler.
Rhett Butler to Scarlett.
Oh, so I got that going for me, which is nice.
Which is
okay,
nice.
Okay, let's talk about the Dalai Lama.
Those are going to be coming up all day long now.
I know. They're all coming to me now.
I said llama.
And he's got the garden fork thing pressed up against the caddy's neck while he's telling him this story.
Hey, have you watched Bill Murray Stories, the documentary?
No.
So I watched that on the airplane because I'm in a tube for 9 hours flying through space and you got nothing to do. So I went ahead and watched. It was on my queue. I was able to watch Bill Murray Stories. It's about a 70-minute documentary by a guy who's not a famous documentary filmmaker. But Bill Murray has a history of crashing weddings and... you know, golf foursomes and photo opportunities, or sometimes he'll just show up at somebody's house, walk in and start doing their dishes. He just likes to insert himself in random moments in people's lives to no fanfare and then hang out with them and then he disappears. And the guy tracks down all of these Bill Murray stories. That's the title of the movie. It's really fun. It's not a great movie, but I didn't know all of these Bill Murray moments. And evidently there's just a ton of them out there. You would enjoy that, Kevin.
I would. That's right up my alley. I've heard stories of him just kind of randomly like running into a group of people in the lobby of a restaurant.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, he like buys them a bottle of wine or something. Or
that's it.
Next thing you know, they're like hanging out at the bar.
That's the point. It's not photobombing. I mean, he'll be at their apartment till 3 a.m. singing with them.
Right.
And then he'll just go, okay, I'm done. And then he just walks away.
So I had a moment with him at the Honolulu airport.
Okay, wait a minute. After this, appears as though Lou Manfredini is listening, our Mr. Fix-It. A text is poured in from him. Here's a movie quote. Sometimes when you're a man, you wear stretchy pants. It's for fun. Nacho Libre. Lou Manfredini. Not exactly sure what everything is that I just said, but I just said it. The way you wrote it to me, Lou. Have we all seen that?
Nah.
Do we even know what that is?
Is that the Jack Black, he's like a wrestler
movie? Sounds about right. Sounds about right.
Sometimes Lou has a few movies going on at once.
By the way, Steve, 224 texted in, Steve Bertrand is the voice of reason.
It's a burden.
you wear it well. You had me at hello. I think we mentioned that one. I got nowhere else to go. I like that one.
Yeah, I'm just dying reading through the Caddyshack ones. They all come to me when I'm on the golf course.
It was so funny because when John threw that at you guys, no one could think of one.
But I do. But now that I don't know. I guess I have to be in the element. Like when I'm on the golf course, I'd probably use 3 or 4 lines every single time. That's a peach, hun.
First thing I thought of, John, from 630, Bueller. Anyone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's a great one, too. And then you still have that other really good one, you know, about slowing down. You know, life goes too fast. What does he say at the end?
Oh, and at the end of
Ferris Bueller.
He says, go home. The movie's over. Go home.
If you don't stop and look around a little bit.
You might miss it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's right. The opening scene where he's in the shower and is, you know, singing and talking and looking at the fourth wall. I think there's some pretty good lines in that part, too. I got to read this. If you need new windows, you're just going to chuckle to yourself all day now,
sorry,
aren't you, Kevin?
Cinderella story, out of nowhere, former groundskeeper.
If you need new windows or doors for your home, call the company recommended by our Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini of House Smarts Radio. Call Gilkey Windows. They manufacture the highest quality vinyl and fiberglass windows in an endless variety of styles and colors. Call Gilkey now, and for a limited time, you can get 35% off on fiberglass or vinyl windows and doors. No interest financing for up to a year. Call Gilkey. 888-3-GILKEY. 888-3-GILKEY. Hey, Reginald, you're on WGN Radio. Thanks for holding. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
Yep, I got a good line. A famous movie from Star Wars. May the Force be with you.
How did nobody say that one yet? I don't think we did.
I'm embarrassed for myself.
Boy, Reggie, thanks for the call.
Yeah, my wife had one, too. Show Me the Money.
Yeah. I actually watched some of those scenes today. Did we put Show Me the Money in there?
Help me help you.
That's the scene because where Tom Cruise does that line, you know.
Yeah.
But that whole scene is just fantastic. That whole scene is fantastic. Yeah, good lines. Thanks, Reginald. Appreciate the call.
No problem. Yep.
You have a good day. Bob, you're on WGN Radio. Which one for you, Bob?
Hi there. Miyagi, when trouble come knocking at Miyagi's door, Miyagi not home.
From Karate Kid, right?
Right.
Yeah, I forgot about that movie. I sure liked that one when that came out. When trouble comes, I'm trying to think if there's another line in there in that movie that's pretty
weird. Very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate you joining us.
All right.
Have a good day. Elif said, John, you got to say a process server was arrested for trying to do his job. See what happens when you challenge the boss in Cicero. WGN-TV investigates tonight at 9. Actually, tomorrow at 9. Young Frankenstein, my, what knockers. From When Harry Met Sally, I'll have what she's having. Isn't that the one you said, Steve Bertrand?
Yeah, that's when it jumped out of me first. But
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that. You're killing me, Smalls. Show me the money.
You'll get nothing and like it.
You're going to just do that all day, aren't you?
All right, I'll mix it up.
229. Completely different topic, by the way. Did you see the story about backpacks that they're selling now to school kids that are bulletproof? Bulletproof backpacks?
Yeah, that's been around, I think, hasn't it?
It has been. This is not an entirely new product, but for obvious reasons, it's getting a little more attention right now. And I don't know if we should embrace that or if we should just say no, no, no. One of the manufacturers of those things is going to talk to us after the news. The news is next. This is John Williams. I'm looking at a story that was in the Washington Post, covered in princesses and bulletproof inside the booming business of everyday ballistic gear. One of the people they quote is Steve Nairmore. Steve Nairmore is the founder of a company called Tuffy Pack. The reason that they formed the company is an interesting story. Steve, you're on WGN Radio in Chicago. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You're from Texas, are you, sir?
Houston, Texas. Yes, sir. Go Astros.
So, don't be that way. We're friends now.
Okay.
Well, talk to me a little bit about the origination. I read a little bit about it, but you can probably tell the story better than me. Why did you form this company just a few years ago?
At the end of 2015, actually, my daughter, being a fourth grade teacher in Dallas, and I had an opportunity to visit with her about all the active shooter drills that they were doing back in those days. And, I got to thinking when I was in school, fourth grade, we did fire drills and we did the other drill where you get under the desk and don't look at the bright light.
Yeah.
So, it was a real problem, all the schools were dealing with it in different ways, different protocols, and I'm familiar with law enforcement. I'm associated with different law enforcement agencies, and I said, you know what, we're going to take a bulletproof vest that a police officer wears, and we're going to deconstruct it, and we're going to make several sizes of panels, if you will, that will fit inside backpacks, because we didn't set out to reinvent the backpack. There's billions of them already out there. So what we did is we created four different size lightweight panels that will insert into virtually any backpack or laptop or briefcase or messenger bag. So, I mean, that was the genesis of it, and we started selling them in 2016. And so that's the long answer to your question.
Do they work?
Oh, yeah. Go to our website, TuffyPacks.com. We shoot the heck out of them, and we've got a lot of folks on YouTube that have taken them and shot them with everything that they can find. And, they absolutely work. And we are also, we comply with the National Institute of Justice Level 3A standards. So, yes, we're tested. We're lab tested. Of course, they work. Now, remember, this is only for handgun rounds. This isn't for assault rifles. These are for handgun rounds because since the year 1999 or 2000, the FBI statistics have said that 85% of all school shootings have involved handguns and not rifles. So just to make that very, very clear.
So an AR-15, an AK-47, this might not offer that much defense against that, but a handgun would.
Well, yeah, in virtually any handgun round. I mean, any handgun ammo you can buy off the shelf, this will defeat, and it will defeat handily.
How much does one of these backpacks for the kids cost?
Well, they're not actually backpacks. These are inserts that you buy for your child that you can slip in their backpack.
These inserts are from like 129, 139, depending on the size.
So that's interesting. I heard you say that, but I thought you were describing your manufacturing process, that you are retrofitting backpacks. But no, I'll just buy the panels and slip them into my kids' covers or backpacks.
No, we're not. Like I said, we didn't set out to recreate the backpacks. I mean, the backpack industry is huge. There's billions of them out there. You probably have three or four in your home, and so we don't we did not want to go into the backpack business and try to put ballistic armor in all the backpacks. So what we did was make a removable insert and make it in enough sizes to where it'll fit virtually any existing backpack that's out there. So you can put it in your child's backpack during the, you know, school week, and if they're going on a sleepover or in a no threat or a low threat environment, just take it out. It's weigh like 19 ounces, like less than a bottle of water.
No kidding. One that would shield my kid in a backpack weighs 19 ounces?
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes.
Steve Naremore is on a phone line. He's the founder of a company called Tuffy Pack, and as you're hearing now, this is bulletproof technology for your kids. Are there any instances where, in fact, somebody has used them and saved themselves yet?
Well, no, there hasn't been, and I hope we don't have to use the word yet. I haven't gotten a card or a letter or an email. No. Understand that this is a fairly nascent industry, and inserts for backpacks have only been around for a few years. But, you know, that's not to say, you know, we don't know where the next school shooting or when or where it's going to be. But no, we haven't had anyone that has given us a credible instance where they've been able to use our panel successfully.
How many of them have you sold?
A lot. it's in the thousands. This is a busy time of year for us. We were gearing up for the back to school market here a few weeks ago, and then these shootings occurred. So, yeah, it's kept us pretty busy.
I wonder how that would work. I mean, I understand the market and the reason why a parent might do it, but I wonder if, in fact, telling a child to hold your backpack in front of you is really going to afford the child much safety.
Did you say, is it going to afford the child much what?
Safety.
Safety? Well, we send out each package includes a parental guide, and where we give the parents some guidance, especially for the younger students. You know, a middle school, high school student is pretty obvious. You know, when you hear the real gunfire in the hallway, this backpack is a shield that you need to hold up between you and the threat. For the younger kids, it's going to take a little more explaining, but it is designed to be a shield. It's not designed to be worn. Just know that if they can put it between them and the threat, it will, if there's a handgun involved, it will absorb the round and not the child.
708 said, will you ask if that insert will stop rifle rounds or just pistol rounds? You just answered that. It pistols, but not rifle rounds.
Right.
John, my daughter's backpack weighs 35 to 40 pounds with all the books. It's already bulletproof, I believe. I don't know if that person's being... Yeah, I don't know if that's a ha-ha or not, but I wonder if a few textbooks will offer the same protection.
Well, we've shot them with textbooks, and we've shot them without. We shot them with laptops and textbooks. Yes, the textbooks do offer you a bit more buffer, but even an assault rifle round will generally go through a textbook, two or three textbooks. It's a completely different characteristic than a handgun round. And to add to that 35 pounds that she's carrying, to put a panel, we refer to that as a level 4 panel, it's more like a military panel, it's going to be probably in the range of 7 to 9 pounds, and it's only going to be 10 to 12 inches, which is about the size of a textbook. So if you want to add another 8 or 10 pounds, they're available, they're costly,
But you know, we're really looking at the tragedies that occurred on school campuses, and the statistics say that generally a handgun is being brought on the campus versus an assault rifle.
What's the controversy been about this?
Well, I don't know that there's been a lot of controversy other than you've got parents there in two camps. One that says, you know, yeah, I think it's a great idea. I could see myself buying one of these for my grandchild or child. And then you have the other side that says, I can't believe the world has come to this, that I have to put this into my child's backpack for school. And I mean, I see both sides. It's sad that we have to have this type of product, but you know, I don't think you or I are going to cure adolescent mental illness in our lifetime, because my personal opinion is that, you know, these are troubled kids that do that cause these problems at these schools. And it's not like eradicating ISIS or the Taliban. It's not with more boots on the ground. It's with an effort between law enforcement, the mental health community, parents, peer groups, to identify these children, these adolescents, before they snap, before there's a catalyst that makes them decide to take a gun, whether they bought it legally or took it from their father's drawer.
I got to tell you, so here's where I am on this, and maybe some of our listeners are this way too. It's a new thought for us. This is a product category we maybe hadn't contemplated until today or the last couple of years. And my first thought was that you or your industry is simply trading on people's fears, and you're making money on it, and you're not really offering anybody any protection. At the same time, if my child had the opportunity in a situation to hold that dang shield in front of them or nothing at all, I'd probably be glad that I spent the $120 to give them that. So I'm of two minds of this thing. I'm not exactly sure where I sit on that.
No, I understand that. But, you know, do you have a fire extinguisher in your kitchen? If you don't, you should. And I also got to tell you that there's tens of millions of Americans that pay $50-$60 a month to press that button on their alarm and it says system armed, and their head hits the pillow, and not realizing that a home invasion takes about 90 seconds if they're still alive when they get the call from the alarm company asking for their password. I mean, it's one of those things that if they feel safe about, you know, having their alarm, I mean, you know, you need a fire extinguisher. It's one of those things. It's a defensive item. The choice is that needs to be made by the parent. And you're right. Like you said, you don't know. We're in Houston, Texas, arguably the fourth largest city in the country, and we had the second worst shooting in 2018 was 20 miles from our offices here in Houston. And it's not real until it happens in your backyard.
One last thing, Steve Nairmore, founder of Tuffy Pack. They sell inserts for backpacks and laptops that are bulletproof for the kids to go back to school. Can you describe for me a typical buyer, or tell me the story of somebody that did buy this insert?
Well, a typical buyer, I'll tell you, 95%+ of our buyers are parents. Just plain and simple. They're parents that are concerned, and they want to add an extra layer of protection in case something happens at, you know, their child's school. And the balance of our business are international and, business travelers. And we do sell to the U.S. government. So, I would say 95% of them are parents that are concerned.
Really interesting. Tuffy Pack is the company, and Steve Nairmore is the founder. All right, Steve, thanks for your time this afternoon. We appreciate that. Good luck to you, sir.
Oh, thank you for having us. All right, you guys have a great day in Chicago. All right.
You have a good day, sir. You know, you want to wish him well, but you wish that there was no need for him to do well. It's 2:51. This is WGN.
The key to a good barbecue is presentation. You can never have too much ice. No one likes a warm beer. I make the potato salad the night before, and I always have one of those special candles to keep the mosquitoes away. And most importantly, the steaks. I like mine rare. My wife insists on medium, and my brother Frank, well done. Like a hockey puck.
Before the big barbecue, don't forget to call Deck Tech. Deck Tech cleans, seals, and protects your deck, restoring it to its natural beauty. In fact, Deck Tech has been helping Chicagoans enjoy everything from Mother's Day to Labor Day and everything in between for over 25 years. For a free estimate, call 800-956-DECK. That's 800-956-DECK. Or visit RestoreYourDeck.com. And for a limited time, receive a 10% discount when you mention this ad.
1-800-956-DECK. Deck.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-500-2319. That's 1-800-500-2319. 1-800-500-2319.
For that family reunion or company get-together, you can do the usual picnic, softball game, stand around, talk about work or crazy Uncle Mark, or you could plan a cruise down the Mississippi on the Riverboat Twilight. Go to RiverboatTwilight.com and plan a 90-minute or day-long cruise. There's even an overnight excursion to Dubuque with meals and beverages and shore excursions. Embark from the Quad Cities. That's a quick trip down I-80 and then get far away on the Mississippi. Cruise the Mississippi this summer. Visit RiverboatTwilight.com. RiverboatTwilight.com. Thank you, John. Yeah, it's not too late to do that. Brenda and I did that a few years ago, and I would recommend that, especially if you've got like a family reunion or a small company gathering. It's kind of a different, fun thing to do. It doesn't take real long, not real expensive. Do you have federal student loan debt? Kaplan Law Firm's got the secret to lowering your monthly payment and eliminating thousands in student loans. If you work in the public sector, so you're a firefighter, police officer, doctor, nurse, municipal employee of some sort, you likely qualify for thousands of dollars of forgiveness of your federal student loans. And if you're not in the public sector, Kaplan Law Firm can still help to reduce your monthly student loan payments. Give Ray Kaplan a call at 312-294-8989 or visit financialrelief.com. That's what you want, financialrelief.com. 847, just some of the topics we've talked about today. John, how much you want to bet Trump is going to hire Blagojevich? Because I was wondering what kind of work Rod would be able to find when he gets out. Who knows? Movie quotes. Oh, well, looks like the University of Illinois for me. That's from Risky Business, of course. I love you more than I love my luggage. Steel Magnolias. John, I'm hearing all of these movie quotes. And I own several of them, only now I don't know which one to go home and watch when I get home. Signed, Tim. Thanks, Tim. Yeah, this is kind of fun. You had me at hello. There's one other couple of texts that I wanted to just pass along. About the interview we just did with the guy from Tuffy Packs, Steve Naramore. A couple of you are saying things like, in a world that has seemed surreal since 2016, this interview is the most surreal conversation I've heard to date. A lot of you have also pointed out that while that guy is a businessman and he's trying to sell his product, he seemed just a little too happy about the whole process. I mean, he's selling bulletproof inserts for our children's backpacks at school. 847 said, I'm a teacher. If a school goes into a lockdown situation, kids will not have time to get their backpacks from their lockers. John, the product is not the point, though it's a crappy way to make money. I was torn about that. I still am, to be honest with you. If you came up with that idea and you said, well, we can make this product and make it available to kids, families, or we could not, what are you supposed to do? If you're in law enforcement, you know how to get that material and you can cut it to match a kid's backpack, is it wrong for you to do that?
I would hope that the intentions are good and it's more so we're not seeing a lot of other action being done. How can I help? Kind of thing. But one can only hope. I don't know him.
If that's your idea, I don't even think that it's wrong for you to make money on that. I mean, he compared it to fire extinguishers and seatbelts.
Well, at the same time, if you're going to make a product, you need to be able to afford to make them.
Right. I know. I don't think you have to be a charity about it.
I mean, even medicine, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
it's
pharmaceutical companies are not everybody's favorite category right now.
Yes,
but that's the point. All of these companies exist to help you when you're in trouble, and you pay money for it, and you say that's fair. So if you have an insert that goes in your kid's backpack, and it's bulletproof, here's the thing. This is the thing that I think is I'll say fraud. I don't mean it, but this is the, I think, fraud about it. Your kid's now going to turn around and use the backpack as a shield, like they're in some Hollywood movie and they're pew, 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 ricocheting the bullets away. I mean, is that really going to save them? One mother had a conversation, the story I was reading, with a child, and the kid said, well, what if it shoots my hand? She says, it'll really hurt and you'll be alive. But if you put it in front of you, maybe it won't hit your head or your heart, and then you would still live. And the kid says, yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's the math the mom and the kid were doing. Last movie quote. I said, give me your favorite movie quote. What comes to mind? Ready, set, go. 815 says, sorry, sir. Park's closed. Moose out front. Should have told you. Very nice.
That's a great one.
Thank you for that.
I think mine is, can't swim. Hell, the fall will probably kill you.
Very nice. Butch Cassidy, Sundance Kid.
Yep.
How about you, Andy? You got one?
I'd say, what's the cannoli line?
Yeah. Leave the gun, take the cannoli.
That one. Mm-hmm.
Godfather.
I also very
I
much like,
use that.
Come and meet my little friend.
That one's good.
Is that Scarface?
Yeah.
These are ones you can work into regular conversation, you know?
That's actually every Disney film, too. Come and meet my little friend. So
different,
just work it in. Yeah.
Sort of mm-hmm. interpretation.
Yeah.
What do you two
context
talk show hosts up to today?
Well, we got a lot. We got a lot, John. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I'd like to welcome you back to humanity.
Thank you.
Let's see. Ben Bradley's going to be here about Hulk Hogan's very special ride at O'Hare. A.B. Stoddard will join us about, I don't know if you noticed, there was some news out of Washington and New York City this weekend. So we'll talk about what all that means. Did you see the story about the Asian carp in Lake Michigan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whether the Asian carp are going to invade, and if they do, what will happen?
It's over. Game over.
Well, it's interesting, because there's a new study by the University of Michigan. We're going to have the person on who did it tell us exactly what can happen. And it's not exactly what we think. But the one thing that we do know is the Asian carp can grow to be 100 pounds. 100 pounds.
Not an attractive or tasty fish either, turns out.
You seen the video where they just drop a little shock in the water and they all come jumping out?
Yeah.
That's how I wake up in the morning. That's what
bizarre. I have nightmares about that video after seeing it.
Right. I have employees who just do that, throw a thing into the bed and it shakes me out. It's crazy. And that's just the beginning. Oh, and I had quite a moment. I had an interpersonal experience over the weekend while I was
in California.
On break. Yeah. Where something is legal that it is not here.
There's a lot of that in California. Like, that's legal?
Yeah.
You can do that?
Yeah. 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 I had a doctor with me, too, during the moment. And it was
that's handy.
And a TV doctor, too, nonetheless. Oh, my God. I'll tell the story. Don't anybody...
We will...
It's at 5:40.
You're listening at 5:40.
Yeah, thank you very much.